Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This podcast is also a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. I created Better Leaders, Better Schools because I was fed up of not having deep conversations, vulnerable, authentic conversations about school leadership. And that's why you keep coming back week after week. You listen to this podcast as an investment in your own leadership development. If you would like to invest in the production of Better Leaders, Better Schools, I have really good news. It's extremely affordable. $1 or $2 a month will go very far and make a big impact. At $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every 60 days. To become a patron, it's easy. Just click the link in the show notes, become a patron. Thank you for investing in yourself and thank you for investing in this podcast. Thank you for listening every week. Let's get this show started.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
Just think about people's time. What do you want them spending the time doing? And I think we need a revolution in schools. I think we need people to stand up and take control of their inboxes and be very much more precise and send a lot more meaningful emails or don't send them at all.
All right. Hello, everyone. We're back.
We're back. Hello.
Feeling good. It's the springtime.
Don't lie to the people. You tell me you feel like an old man and you're stuffed up.
That's the worst, isn't it? Like, the weather's warming up and then you got a stuffy nose. You know, you're just like, I survived this wintertime only to get sick right when the weather's getting better. I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, that's not good. I got bit by some bug, you know, and I got flu shot and everything. And I missed 2.5 days of school couple weeks back, and I just felt absolutely terrible. It wasn't like a flu, you know. I didn't have stomach or not that the listeners want to know, but you know, throwing up, that sort of stuff. But my head was just out of it, and if I woke up at 9, by noon I felt like I had to just crash. So it's the worst. Being sick is the worst.
Did you get any Xbox in?
I wanted to, you know. I was like, man, can I be good enough that I'm sick enough to stay home, but good enough to play video games? And the answer to that was a resounding no. I slept it off, man. I was sleeping 14, 16 hours a day. The podcast episode hasn't released yet. I don't remember what number it'll be, but I talked to this one guy, Dr. Phil Carson. He's a pharmacist, but he's also an expert in natural remedies. And so he gave me a tip on a type of tea to drink. And I don't know if it was a placebo effect or what, but it did make me feel better. So that was the one thing.
That's good. That's good. So we're in April, the time in Chicago where you start wishing for warmer temperatures. Yeah, I know, right? Because Chicago's that weird city where it's April and you're like, you're looking at all the other cities, people are coming outside, getting ready to go to the beach or walking barefooted on the grass, and you don't know what to expect. You open the door one day, it's like 60 degrees, and the next day it's like 35. That's how they get people sick. That's how Mother Nature gets you sick out here. But nonetheless, it's crazy how fast the year has gone, and now we're already in April, and at this time you would think, for many of us, that you're really kind of starting to settle into your rhythm. Maybe you're both a teacher and a parent. You got the whole routine down when it comes to waking the kids up, getting ready for school, going to go teach, and so forth, picking them up. And I guess my question, as we start off today, is do you feel balanced? Do you feel like within this rhythm that you feel stressed, or do you feel at peace, or do you feel in control? You know, and adding on to that, within your daily life, are you leaving margin to grow as a leader? I mean, this is a leadership podcast, and we continually challenge you. And there are some days, I'm sure, where you really love us, and some days where you probably can't stand listening to us. But, you know, this is what we do. And, Daniel, I kind of wanted you to comment on this. So let's use you as an example. Do you feel like in 2016 you've achieved that balance that you've been looking for as of April? And do you feel like there's margin in your daily time to grow as a leader?
It's a yes and no. Erica and I have had some hard conversations. The thing with me is, you know, a strength of mine is extreme focus, and I can really get going with producing content for the blog, the podcast at Better Leaders, Better Schools. But then I don't have a really good off switch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's always like, can I get one more thing done? Can I get one more thing done? And I think I focus on the right things, but it's really hard for me to walk away to shut it down. And tonight's a prime example, you know, working right up until recording with you, IB. And I should have had more margin today. You know, I did treat myself. I went out to lunch. Erica was doing a panel on race at church, and I got to work on a podcast there. You know, they're still working, but I enjoyed the sunshine coming out through the window and that sort of thing, and then walking home. But then I got working on a blog and doing this and that, and the next thing I know, it's 8 o'clock. And I did laundry. You know, I was helping out around the house to clean the kitchen, but I missed my workout. So now I need to get up extra early tomorrow to make sure that I make my goal that way. So I get stuff on the calendar, which I think helps you balance everything, but then I need to be able to shut it down. So I need to have harder stop times, maybe like a million alarms that go off, or my computer just explodes if I continue to work. So you could do that, right?
maybe in your world, I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, that was a great response. And today's opening question that we just talked about really ties into our three tips today. So we're going to be talking about reading books, learning from other industries and adapting, and then finally utilizing technology. And I think all three, as we'll dive into and talk about, really get to this idea of adding margin in your life to grow as a leader. And these are three things that really integrate well with that. So the first one is reading books. And Daniel, let's just go right into it. What impact has books had on your leadership growth?
I mean, that's huge impact that they've had on my leadership growth. If people have been a long listener of this podcast, they know that Better Leaders, Better Schools was created out of my frustration with connecting with other leaders and being able to discuss it at a deep level, at a vulnerable and authentic level as well. And so when you are missing those face-to-face connections locally, you got to look for mentors outside, right? And a great way to do that has always been through reading. People have been doing that for ages. Now we have podcasts, we have video and that sort of thing. But books is still probably my number one way I sharpen my sword to become a better leader.
So that's good. And I have a lot of admiration for you, Daniel, because I'm the type of person that gets really excited by certain books. I mean, Daniel, you've seen this play out multiple times in our friendship. You know, we'll go to Leadership Summit or something and I'll buy a book, be really excited. Then I'll read 10 pages and then I'll get consumed by other activities. And you'll ask me like, hey, did you finish that book? What do you think? I'm like, it was
it's a really good. Cover.
The
yeah.
Front cover was really good. You know, but so the front, yeah. But you wear the hat of assistant principal, your husband, you host Better Leaders, Better Schools, but yet you find time to read and read and read and read. You know, we have done this podcast with you for, you know, 6 or 7 months now, and you always have a new book recommendation for people. So what's your secret? How do you find that time?
I schedule it in. So like we were talking about, I think I'm pretty good about that. My morning routine, you know, I like to wake up early and I'll read the Bible or some type of devotional, pray, and I'll also read for a few minutes of something inspiring in terms of leadership. I also schedule that time at work too, you know. So while I'm there at school, it's, you know, it's not hours, but while I have my lunch break, I can eat lunch. It's not, that doesn't take that long, but in terms of settling down and reflecting on what's important, I think challenging myself intellectually is a part of that process. So during lunch, I normally will read some type of leadership material as well.
Nice. And so do you listen to books in audiobook format, or do you love feeling the soft sensation of a paperback?
or the gentle hum of a Kindle. You know, I like all that stuff, to tell you the truth. So I like the Kindle for when I travel, because I could bring 50 books with me and read them. So you've been to South Africa too. That is a long trip.
14 hours.
Right. You want to pack as light as possible. So, you know, the Kindle is a perfect solution there. I do prefer feeling the book if I can and get a hardcover, but I'm also, you know, struggling or a recovering a minimalist. I don't know, you know. So not having that many books in the house is also a good thing, because we've gone from probably 5 or 6 bookshelves. Now we're down to 1.
Who came up with that idea, Erica or you?
It was a shared. It was a collaborative decision. We live in a 1-bed, 1-bath, so there's just not that much room, you know?
Yeah,
some of the books are also at school, but the Kindle's perfect. I love reading, but to answer your question, yes, I've started to dabble into audiobooks as well, either getting them through audible.com or also just maybe going to an author site like Stephen Pressfield. He's written a number of books, but one that is really good for me and you is called The War of Art, and also leaders and content creators too that are listening to the podcast. And he's really talking about the imposter syndrome, how to combat your lizard brain, and how to fight what he calls resistance. But it's that whisper, right? When you sit down to create a new blog post, or that whisper when you hit record on this podcast and you hear this voice, it's like nobody's listening. You have nothing good to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the resistance. And he wrote a powerful book. It's actually the first audio book I've ever listened to. And now I won't go back. So, you know, I try to redeem the time, so to speak, of commuting to work, which is generally a pretty short commute, 20, 25 minutes, a little bit longer on a Friday in Chicago. But if I'm not listening to a podcast, now I listen to an audio book. And just to tell our listeners, too, if you go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/book, I have a free gift for you. That's a 30-day free trial where you could get any book that's in audio format for free. And then if you're not into it, you could cancel that membership. But if you enjoy it, then you could continue, and that's great.
Awesome. So let's keep it moving. So the second tip is learning from other industries and adapt. And so when you explain this tip, Daniel, you say that you steal great ideas and adapt them to the school environment. Can you give an example of you doing that?
Yeah, you know, we go to the Leadership Summit and learn from great leaders, and they have so much different knowledge and different ideas to share with us. And if you remember, I think his name is Horst Schultze, and he has worked in the best type of hotels forever, like the Ritz-Carlton, and then he's with some other premium hotel chain. And he just shared, you know, I guess like this little idea of a playbook where he would read the values of the organization every morning to the workers. You got to keep it fresh, and I'm still trying to figure out how to do that, but it was just a little thing that he did every day to keep everybody focused on what's the most important. Another thing, I remember the story, I'll share it real quick with the audience. You probably remember too. Horst empowered his employees. And that's what we need to do as school leaders, empower our staff members to make choices autonomously that are in line with our values. And at the Ritz-Carlton, they wanted you to have the best experience ever when you stayed there. And a bellboy was empowered, all the bellboys were empowered to make decisions under a certain dollar amount. I don't know if it was $500, $1,000, $2,000. And somebody had a really challenging stay. And so the bellboy was able to, like, buy a new TV, or it was something crazy. Like, I couldn't believe.
Yeah, I think it was like buy a new TV. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they had a problem with the TV in their room. So the bellboy just bought a newer, better, bigger one, had it installed in the room, kept those clients super happy. And it was just so surprising to me, right? That he had that type of autonomy, but they want people that are going to stay a customer for life, right? Because their experience was so good. And normally in bureaucratic environments and organizational hierarchy, like to make that type of decision, you can imagine how many layers that bellboy would normally have to go through in a normal organization. What makes this story abnormal is Horst empowered the bellboy. They were able to be agile, make the decision. It was in line with the values, and that customer, they're not going to go to another hotel because that experience was so great. Now, I never would have learned that in the education space, but then I apply it by communicating to staff what our values are and say, you can make any decision that's in line with those values, and I'm not going to question it. And let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day, and that's why I created a free gift for you called The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. You can grab it today for free by texting the word UNLOCK NOW to 33444. That's UNLOCK NOW to 33444, and The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show.
You also talk about one way of kind of tapping into those industries is getting your hands on various blogs and podcasts. What do you say to the listener who can get overwhelmed for, you know, when it comes to searching for those new blogs and podcasts? And imagine that listener is me, because in some ways it is. You oftentimes give me more tips for new podcasts than I give you. And I appreciate it very much. But what would you suggest?
I think just know, you know, what type of time is the most precious resource. Understand what kind of time you have. And whenever you could get to things that you think are going to enhance your life, great. And if you're struggling with that, it's okay. Just keep moving forward. I guess that's the advice. Keep moving forward. Seth Godin is probably my greatest sort of virtual mentor. He's a big marketer, but I believe he talks about leadership and creating art and content and that sort of stuff too. And he writes a daily blog. So he shared a story recently in a leadership workshop I took, and it was just funny. Like, people actually send him emails that they're mad. "Will you stop writing every day? I can't read it." You know? And his answer was, "It's okay if you don't read it every day." And that's my answer to you, IB. Like, when you can engage in these great resources, great, do it. But if you can't get to it because, you know, you're too busy and life's just not working out that way, it's all right. Just skip it. And when you can get to it, get to it. The other question I'd ask you and the listeners, though, is to consider how you're using your time, right? So outside of work, are you doing things to develop yourself spiritually? Are you doing things to develop yourself physically, relationally, and all those sort of things? And one thing that I found very interesting about Seth is that he doesn't own a TV, he said. And so they don't spend any time, or some people may say waste any time, watching TV. And Eric and I, we do have a TV. Cable comes with our condo deal, so we don't pay for cable. The previous place we paid for, we did not pay for cable, so we only had regular TV. But it's amazing how little time we would spend watching TV when we didn't have cable. We had Netflix, so we'd watch something here or there. But I think that's the ticket, is trying to do things that are more creative. Reading books, writing books, writing blog posts, writing poetry, performing instruments, you know, creating music, that type of stuff. So I would just challenge listeners and you to see how you're using your time, audit that use of time. And if it's not something that's making you better, so to speak, ask yourself if it's really important. That's not to say you need some time to blow off every now and then, watch a movie, watch a TV show. I think that's fine. But if you track how many hours you do it, and then really ask yourself if you're comfortable with that amount of time, you may have found some margin right there.
Definitely. Definitely. And so the last thing I kind of wanted to mention is, so in your tip, you use the word adapt. And I like to build on that and kind of use the word create. Because I think that what I've been learning kind of in my own field is just how there's opportunities to take from different fields in terms of, and have that shape your thinking in terms of products and services that you're trying to create. A couple of years ago, I listened to a professor who was telling us that he tries to read various journal papers and fields that are different from his own, because he's able to use those insights and apply it to his own work. And at the time, you know, I was a young 24-year-old, but I just laugh. I was thinking about, who has time for that? I mean, I barely have time to like finish my own experiments, let alone read. But, you know, as I continue in my medical career and see the new technology that's coming out and see how people are thinking, you really see its benefits. And I think when you allow yourself to learn from different industries, you really begin to think outside the box. You begin to take more risks, and you become what Seth called a linchpin, right?
Right. You, look at you.
Yeah, linchpin. Look at me. Yeah. But you you really are indispensable in terms of how your creativity in solving problems.
Absolutely. That's such a great idea that you just shared with the listeners. So I just want to reiterate that idea of being a linchpin, that you bring so much value to your organization. Like, they just absolutely cannot get rid of you. You just do too much. And being able to learn from other industries, I think, really rounds you out in what you bring to leading a school. And another challenge for the listeners too is to read viewpoints that are opposing your own, so you can understand the different arguments or where people are coming from, their worldviews, just to be able to relate to all types of people, understand, I guess, the values and what's important to them, and really shore up and validate, I guess, your own perspective, so you could share that very clearly when you need to.
Definitely, definitely. So now we're on the last tip of the day, which is utilize technology. And Daniel, when you say utilize, I interpret that as meaning, you know, technology for using technology for a specified purpose. And these days, it's very easy to be a consumer when it comes to technology and not really think intentionally about how we plan to use the technology. Thus, because we're a leadership podcast, how do you define what the purpose of technology is for you as a leader?
So one example, and I don't know how it's going to end up, so I can't report to the listeners right now the end story. But at our school, one obstacle or barrier we're trying to fix is communication between teachers and administration and teachers to teachers. When kids struggle at our school, obviously we can go and, as an administrator, talk face-to-face with teachers what's going on with that kid. And I think those conversations are important, and face-to-face communication is very valuable. Email is laborious. It is a time suck. It's often misinterpreted, and it's actually kind of hard to search through and understand how the conversation progressed. So we are utilizing a newer technology called Slack. And you could get that slack.com, I believe. There's an app, iPhone, Android, iPad, all that type of stuff. What is great is they're trying to become an email killer. And this is an example of utilizing technology to increase your leadership influence, and in this case, remove barriers of communication. And the way we're using it is we're going to set up Slack is... it's almost like just texting and chatting, okay? Have you ever used it, Ivy?
No, I've never used it.
Oh,
no.
It's so good. So you create a team. So ours is, I'm not going to share it because I don't want you to join it, listeners. It's private. It's private. So you create a team, you invite members to it, and then it has something called channels. So visualize on the left-hand part of your computer screen these different channels. And for us, we created students as the channel so that we could talk about very targeted students, in this case, that were concerned about their success, whether that's academically, social, emotionally, behaviorally, attendance-wise, etc. And you can add whoever you want to that channel. So unlike organizational wide email that not necessarily everybody needs, but that's like your listserv, that you're polluting that person's inbox. You shouldn't do it. Naughty, naughty. Now with a channel, if I'm talking about a specific student, I only need the counselors in there and the teachers that work with that kid, right? And so you could be very focused and precise of everybody that's in that channel. You could tag people like Twitter and use the @. So @Daniel, when you do that, I'll get a notification. Whenever anybody adds anything to the discussion in a channel, that channel goes from like a gray text to just white and bolded. And so visually you can see which channels are, I guess, have the liveliest discussion. But anyways, this is a great tool, I believe, is a, you know, a technology that should be used in the future education so that people can just quickly and be as agile as possible within a school, share what's going on with a kid. One thing we found when we were working with our most struggling students, I might have a conversation with a kid that here's what I expect you to do, and then I'll communicate that to the teacher. And then I might find out days later that the kid did or did not do that, right? Just because email or whatever and stuff gets lost. With Slack, they could tag me. They can write in there instantly. I can find out I really think it's going to break down a ton of barriers for our school specifically.
That's cool. Yeah, it's just so interesting because I guess I don't really have that many emails in my inbox. So I don't really, it's just interesting listening kind of to your perspective and how, like, when you're on the ground as an educator, like, how many barriers come up that you don't necessarily foresee. So I think that's really fascinating.
And let me pause you there real quick. The listeners know this well. As you move up in organizations, the more authority you have, more influence, the more emails you get. And there's some really great free email classes out there. There's a tool that I'd love to use, and maybe if when I start making some more money, I think I'd invest in it. It's called SaneBox. I don't get anything if you sign up and pay, so go ahead and check it out. But SaneBox, like sane, like not the opposite of insane, sane, and then box, BOX.com. They offer free email course, and it actually taught me a lot, and I always already felt like I was an email ninja, but that helped me be even better. And so now my system, and they teach so much more, but what I want to share with the listeners, you get an email, either act right now and get it out of the inbox, you star it and archive it. And so now I don't even use folders anymore. I used to use folders and tag stuff like crazy. But now if I don't have time, it deserves a lengthier response, I star it and archive it, or I just delete it. And here's a secret. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of emails I get sent that probably are supposedly important. I just delete them. And I've been doing this for years, and it's never bit me in my butt. So this is a challenge, too, to you leaders that maybe write a lot of emails. Is it necessary? Just think about people's time. What do you want them spending the time doing? And I think we need a revolution in schools. I think we need people to stand up and take control of their inboxes and be very much more precise and send a lot more meaningful emails, or don't send them at all. So check out the free course. Sometimes it's better to have a conversation. Sometimes it could just be an announcement, but really think through that. Email is the easiest, and I think it's a coward's way out of having hard conversations too. So maybe that challenged some people. But yeah, that's my sort of system. I don't know how I got on that rant.
I mean, it's a good one. Anyone who's listening can relate to that, especially if you're...
I know how we involved. Got here.
Yeah.
Because Ivy said Ivy doesn't get a lot of emails. So yeah, you start to get a lot. And, just archive, star, respond, or delete. And just keep moving forward. Don't spend your life in your inbox. It's a waste of your time and your talents.
Wait, when you archive the email, does it come back or does it?
So glad you brought that up. Thank you, IB. Yeah. So no, it doesn't. So when I start and archive it, it goes into like the all mail folder, right? But then I looked at my starred stuff, and those are the important ones I need to respond to. And after I respond to it, I take the star off, so it's now out of my starred folder. And to tell you the truth, that folder is pretty small. It typically has between 20 to 40 emails, never any more than that, that I need to respond to. And I love getting to what's called inbox zero, where you have nothing in there. And I just, I delete like crazy. I'm telling you the truth. So there's a couple things I want to tell about the listeners. Who knew this would be a masterclass on email? Ninja hacks. You could pay for Boomerang, which is a really cool service. I use it for free. I've used it to schedule stuff too. So check that out. Just Google Boomerang. It integrates with Gmail. It's really great. You could pay for it. I don't. But you can snooze emails. You can say, hey, send it later in the next day or whatever. Cause tell you the truth, when I do make more money, I think I'll invest in that as well, because I don't want people to think like I respond lightning quick to email, cause then they email you back right away. And I, it's like, no, I don't want to do, if we're having a conversation, come find me, let's talk. But no, seriously, it's a waste of all our freaking time. But Boomerang, so someone sends me an email. And like my method, again, respond to it. If it's a quick and easy, respond to it right away, archive. With Boomerang, you could say, okay, I'm gonna send this tomorrow at 8 a.m. So I think that's important. Here's another thing, and this is just my opinion. This whole podcast pretty much, is my opinion, but it served me well, so you guys should listen. But here you go. It bothers me, and so it's, again, my opinion. It bothers me when I get an email at like 2 in the morning from an authority over me. I don't know. I read that and I think, don't you have anything better to do? And I'm thinking this when I wake up, right? Like 8 a.m. I'm like, seriously? You're writing this? You know? And believe me, I've never gotten that email and opened it up and been like, glad they stayed up for this. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you can't sleep or, you know, whatever. It's on your mind and you want to write it and send it. The thing about Boomerang that I think is good, then you could schedule it. And if you are that night owl, you can schedule it for like the next day in the morning so you don't seem like you're writing emails at 2 in the morning if that's you. And I think that's important too. I'm going to instill a email hours with the school that I lead next year. And I don't know what those cutoff times will be, if it's 5 p.m. or 7 p.m., but I want people to have lives to, again, develop spiritually, physically, connect with their families. And I'm not going to allow students, parents, whoever, to email after a certain hour, or they're going to get a talking to from me. And I'm going to ask my staff, if you do get an email, you know, don't check and definitely don't respond, because you should be connecting with your family and getting to be healthy. So those are some tips. Last one, this one's real quick. Instead of Boomerang, I use, you know, I'm a big Evernote user, and IB, we collaborate on it, creating these shows. Do you use the paid version or is it just a free version?
I use a free version.
And I think you could still do this with the free version, but we all have an Evernote email. I don't know if, did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you have an Evernote email address, and you can look that up under your settings in your account profile, and you can send yourself an email. So if I get an email from you, IB, and it's like, hey, let's work on this show that's coming out in 3 weeks. Well, I don't need that in my inbox, and I don't want to archive and forget about it. So I send it to my Evernote, and in Evernote, if you use the @, that will tell Evernote, and put this in your subject, sorry. So send it to your Evernote email address in the subject, so you got to edit the forward. I might say episode with IB. And if you use the @ and then whatever you call your notebook, so for me, it's cabinet, so @cabinet, #, and then whatever your tag is. So I'll use like # blog or podcast. And then if you use the !! in the date, so the month, the day, and the year, it will also set a reminder. So I don't know if you knew that or listeners, but you could set reminders with your notes in Evernote, and then it will pop up just like any other notification. But that's one way I don't forget emails too. So somebody sends me something is due in like 2 months. Great. Like, I don't want to forget about it. I don't want it to stay in my inbox. So I send it to Evernote, and I put that date of when I'll get a reminder. And that's a really great tip. A lot of the ways I use Evernote, I learned from Michael Hyatt, and you should check out his website. And if you just type in Google Michael Hyatt and Evernote, all the same tips and tricks that I'm sharing with you right now, I learned it from him first. And I want to plug his book, Living Forward. I pre-ordered it. Looking forward to reading it. And yeah, that's a real good one. Just that one's about if you feel like you're getting pulled in a million different directions, kind of like some of the stuff we've been talking about, it's how do you focus. It's very similar, I think, to Essentialism is the sense I get. And the author of Essentialism promoted the book. So definitely looking forward to checking that out. Living Forward by Michael Hyatt.
Awesome.
And guess what, Ivy?
What?
If you pre-ordered it like I did, you get an audio version. And that's how I'm going to read it.
Once you go audio, never go back.
Man. Never go back.
Never go back. Well, this has been an awesome podcast episode. And Daniels, thank you so much for setting up this podcast and allowing me to be a part of it. And do you have any parting words of advice for the listeners today? And just remind them what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I think like call to action, we talked a lot about audio. So why don't you give it a shot? Full disclosure, if you sign up for a free trial, I'll actually get a little bit of a fee, but that'll go towards the blog and the podcast. I'll dump it right back into development. But if you go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/book and sign up for a free month, you could always cancel if you don't like it. Please do that. And it's a great way to say thanks to me and IB for creating this podcast, as we'll make a small amount of money. So that's the call to action. And yeah, you can get me Daniel at betterleadersbetterschools.com, Twitter @_ Better Schools. I've got a private Facebook group. Welcome any school leader that wants to join there. I just hopped on Snapchat. So if you want to see the behind the scenes of creating content and school day in, day out, what my life is like, that's a great place too to connect, to get nothing. You're not going to see that anywhere else. So you got to get that only on Snapchat.
All right. So Better Leaders thanks you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast is brought to you by Daniel Bauer and Ivy Umana. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type tips 19 through 21 in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. On most mobile phones, you can tap on the cover art and the show notes will magically appear. Both Daniel and me, Ivy, thank you for sharing your leadership insights and help the better leaders be better.
Hey, better leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.